Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointsTC.
The Hard Shoulder
with the MG Hybrid and Electric range, celebrating 100 years of passion for the road. Recharge your soul.
Well, for this week's Thursday interview, I'm now joined in studio by ballet dancer and teacher Monica Lachman. Monica, you're very welcome the programme. You are the first Westerner to have achieved solo status with the Perm State Theatre of Opera and Ballet of Russia.
I am
it's
indeed,
quite the
yes.
title.
Yes, that's me. Yeah, a lot of hard work, I could tell you that. A lot of grit, determination, discipline, focus, all the strong words. But yeah, I definitely did it. Yeah. It wasn't easy.
No, I want to go back to, I suppose, that decision as a teenager to move from Ireland to Russia by yourself to attend school over there. I mean, were you incredibly brave or independent, or just had a very strong character?
I think I just saw an opportunity and I knew I wouldn't get something similar to that again. And there was other Irish young people with me. There was one boy and 9 girls. I was one of 10. But without your parents, you know, I had literally just turned 14 in July and I left in August. And I have a 15-year-old son. I can't even imagine it.
Well, I was going to ask you that. When you look at him now, you've looked at him over the last couple of years, can you imagine putting him on a plane Russia with people, you know, they weren't your school friends, they weren't cousins.
No, I didn't know most of them. No.
You were essentially going by yourself.
Yes.
Can you imagine sending him off?
If he really wanted to, and if he had the discipline and focus, and I'm not saying he doesn't, but if it was, let's say, something he's into, like football, I would be extremely sad. But I had 2 other siblings, so I'd say offloading one of us wasn't too much of a chore.
But your parents must have seen, I suppose, skill and talent within you, and they must have known that you had the type of personality and the type of character that could deal with all of the pressure that was going to come on you and just the very change of your lifestyle in Russia.
To be honest, I don't think I did have the personality until I got there. I think it was, you know, when you put somebody's feet to the fire, they either do or they don't. But my father had been in the Irish Air Corps since he was 14. So I think he maybe acknowledged that this is an opportunity. I think they thought I'd be gone for a year. And what happened subsequently is when we turned up at the airport, 1 or 2 of the Irish girls didn't get on the plane because they got a fright. And we were flying Aeroflot at the time, and I was just petrified. And my father, he was a avionics engineer, and he worked for Aer Lingus. He assured me that it was very safe, but like I had a bag on my back that was 60 kilograms, and like a case that was 50 kilos, and I had to trek that myself. And I myself probably weighed 45 kilos. I remember if you had breathed on me, I was going down like a turtle on my back. You know, it was so, we had to bring toilet roll, we had to bring our copybooks, shampoo. Imagine you're going and living in a tent. That's what it was like. We had nothing. We had to bring food, dried powdered milk, Weetabix, toothpaste, everything, toilet roll. There was
and
nothing.
And why did you
there.
Need all of that? Because it just
was
wasn't
nothing.
Available
there was,
for you
was
to buy, or that they just weren't going to provide that for you.
There was nothing there. Like that was back in the day where people queued for food. And there was nothing. And not only that, they'd give you little vouchers so you couldn't go and overbuy even if you had the money. And children, we were fed in the canteen, and the canteen food was absolutely horrible. It was just absolutely disgusting. Now, subsequently, I learned to love it because when you starve enough, you can eat anything. I used to get so hungry that I'd eat toothpaste on Weetabix. Yes.
That's bleak.
Yeah. And then we used to get baby food, like it was dried baby food. It was apple flavoured and we'd mix it with hot water and you'd eat that. But like that's how we got hungry.
And was the environment, other than that, welcoming? You know, were the teachers, were the other pupils?
At the start,
warm?
No. I had a wonderful teacher, Svetlana Ivanovna Sidorova was her name. She's sadly passed away. She was a beautiful woman, very sensitive, very gentle. She instantly took to me and I took to her. But the students, the dancers in the school, they would make fun of us because we were older than a lot of them, but we weren't nearly as good. We were quite sad, actually. And they used to, there was a little window above all the classes. Like, now it's quite tall because the doors would be quite high above the thing. And they used to jump up and look over and laugh. They'd knock on the window and the boys would be laughing. Like, they'd be sitting on each other's shoulders trying to get a glimpse. But the teacher would go mad. But they'd still do it. And you get mocked. So for the first year, we were mocked quite openly.
Did you ever consider coming home?
All the time.
Were you homesick?
All the time. Yeah, all the time. I used to, I still don't, I'm still not much of a sleeper, but I used to sit out in the hall and say my novena. All the Irish people, all the Irish children would be asleep. And I'd sit out in the hall, have a good cry, say my novena, and then just wait until my heart rate would slow down and they go to bed. So everybody would be in bed about 10, I'd fall asleep at 2.
So what kept you there?
Well, I love ballet. I love the art. I love the closeness that you become very close with your colleagues. You start to understand your body. You start to understand, like, the music alone. I stayed in the house that Tchaikovsky stayed in. Like, everything, you're just embraced and enveloped in this world.
Utterly immersed in it.
Completely.
And did you see a huge, huge difference in the approach to teaching and the standard of teaching?
Yes. Well, the approach over there, you're teaching, you're... The teacher's job is to get you a job. So you must be the best. Like, there's everybody in the school gets a job. And the thing is, if you're not good enough, you just get expelled. There's no, like, we're thinking of expelling you. You're just gone. There's no pre-warning. That's it. You out.
So out of all of those who went on that flight, that Air Flod flight, how many survived it? Because that's what it sounds like.
Me.
You were the only one.
Yeah, I was the youngest and I was the only one, yeah. They weren't getting rid of me. I'm sorry.
That's extraordinary.
Yeah, that was not going to happen. And, like, you know, I used to get bullied a lot by some of the teachers when I subsequently when I joined the theatre. They were like, you're English, you're a spy. And I was like, firstly, if I was a spy, I'd be driving a nice car. Secondly, I'm not English. You know, get your facts straight. But this went on for like a good year and a half. I had my bags packed. I was like, I'm getting out of here. And then the other dancers would talk me down and they were like, no, you have to stay. And I stayed and they became my family. Like, I earned their, now I, when I mean I earned their respect, I earned their respect because I didn't just go in there with it. I had to really earn it.
I mean, we've all watched the movies. We've all seen Black Swan. Is that reflective of what the lifestyle is like? That constant pressure, that constant training, and I suppose the physical toll on your body if you want to be the best.
Yeah, obviously the storyline, not so much, but the fact that it is very, very intense. It's like any high sport, like high end, high intensity sport. You know, I don't see yourself, we're artists as well, but it's mainly sport. And your body, like I limped here today. I'm now suffering with a groin kind of hip injury. But, you know, I'm retired now, so that's okay. I always say God just wanted me to stop dancing and now it's my turn to teach.
And you accept that as sort of one of the consequences of getting to the point where you were the first Westerner to achieve that solo status?
I had my whole career without any injury. When I was over there, I hit by a ladder and that didn't even take me down. So, like, if I could do that, get through all of that without injury and have my school, have my amazing students and parents that I work with. And I have a lot of foreign nationals that come to me because they understand more the standard. You know, it's not just what's convenient to you in your location. It's they want the best for the children and they understand that I can deliver that standard of ballet.
You were there for 14 years.
Yes.
In the end. So you must have grown to enjoy life in Russia.
Oh, I loved it. I loved it. I considered it my home. I do. Like when times get tough over here, I'm like, oh God, I wish I was there.
And what do you miss about it?
I miss my friends. I miss, there was just... In society over there, as an artist and a dancer, you're held in very high esteem. Whereas over here, sometimes if I'm talking to people, I'll tell them I'm a tree surgeon. So they stopped asking me questions because I don't want to start talking about, you know, my great, great nephew or niece is an Irish dancing champion. Like, it's not the same thing. Do you know what I mean? So I just tell people I'm a tree surgeon.
And what, they just don't ask as many questions about that.
No, they don't. And I don't know. And to all the tree surgeons out there, they never follow up. So I'm free.
What did it mean to get that solo status? What did it mean to you as a dancer? And do you have a favourite ballet performance?
I do.
You do. Do you have a moment where you can look back and say, I knew then that I had made it?
Yes. Well, I was in the Point Theatre and I was dancing Chazelle and I knew I'd made it. And that was the year Rosanna Davidson won, was it Miss World?
Miss World.
Yeah, so it was the same year. So I felt really like, you know, women are rocking it, you know. So that was my favourite. It wasn't without its incidents. So I was dropped on the stage. But like these things happen, you know. And when I did become soloist, it's actually quite lonely. In very many ways, being in the corps de ballet, you feel like you're surrounded by people that really support you. Like sometimes you'd be on the stage and you'd get a cramp, or a friend of yours would get a cramp, and you'd just see the blood, like the blood drain from her face and the sweat. It's like she stepped out from under a chair, and you can hear her whimper. And then you'd go, come on, you'd be talking to each other in the corps. But when you're out there on your own, there's nobody there giving you a pep talk, because your partner usually has his own thing going on.
And also everybody around you wants your role.
I mean, pretty much, yeah. Role, and I'm kind of going, here, my feet are falling off. You can have it.
That's all yours.
I'll do that.
I mean, I do think there must have been sacrifices along the way to have spent so much time in Russia and to have picked, you know, such a specific narrow career. Did it create distance, do you think?
From my family, yes, it definitely did. My, you know, from my ability to maybe communicate with in this society can be quite stunted for me, I find. And I also find that I kind of lack where people, I want people to tell me more, where they just say something. Irish people, how are you? I'm grand. Where actually tell me how you are, you know, because I need to find out how my dancers are feeling, if they're injured and stuff like that. So that I do kind of grapple with. I love being here, though. I love how different it is. And I love how lovely people are. You know, I love Irish people.
Oh, good. Well, I'm glad to hear that. And I'm glad you did come home to teach generation.
Yes. And I have a male dancer. He's a principal now in Samara in Russia. So all my dancers are all over the world. I've taught thousands of people.
All right.
I was thinking about it the other day. How many people have I actually taught? Thousands.
Okay, I'll have to get the little pink tutu out for my girls again then and say, sorry, daughters. Forget the Irish dancing. It's time to focus on that ballet again.
You can wear.
Monica Lachman, thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you so much.
And being our Thursday interview today.
The Hard Shoulder.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range. Celebrating 100 years of passion for the road. Recharge your soul.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18+ in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.